Turn with me, if you will, into Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read the first three verses there. We'll speak to you on the subject of a prayer for cleansing. A prayer for cleansing. You know, the Bible tells us that we are helplessly in sin. And all through the Bible, he gives us a picture of sin by using the plague of leprosy. You see, leprosy was incurable. There's nothing that man could do to cure leprosy. And he uses that to show us how our sinful nature is. And that is that we cannot possibly heal ourselves of this sinful nature that we have. But God has a cure. And it is the same cure that he used on this young man who had leprosy. And he will do the same for anybody who calls upon his name in faith today. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the tremendous power that you have. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his shed blood that can take away the sins of any sinful human. Lord, we're all the same. We all have the same sinful nature. We all have the same wicked desires. Lord, your blood is sufficient to take away all sin. You tell us that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that we have a gospel that can save anybody. It's a gospel of what Jesus did for us, apart from any works, apart from any requirement other than confessing our sins and asking for forgiveness, putting our faith in Jesus that we might be saved. Lord, anybody can do that. We can't live good enough to deserve salvation. We can't live good enough after we're saved to deserve salvation. But Lord, I thank you that you have made a provision where we don't have to. We just simply trust. Search my heart. Remove anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want you to see this condition that this young man is in. Leprosy, as I said before, is an incurable disease. He says here in verse 1 through the first part of 2, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. A leper was completely an outcast. He could not come into the camp. He had to stay outside. They would set food outside, shut the door. He'd come and get the food, eat the food. That's the way he lived. And he needed to be cleansed. He represents us, folks. He represents the sinful nature of man, that leprosy that cannot be healed in us. We can't fix that problem. When God first reveals to us that we are sinful and that his wrath is against all ungodliness, we begin to try to live holy. We begin to try to do right. We begin to try to stop our sinful ways, but that doesn't work. And the whole purpose of the law is to be our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, to show us what we need is a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. He is a wonderful Savior in that he will completely cleanse us from all of our sins if we believe that he is able to do that. Look at Isaiah 64:6. I want you to see that just like this disease, our sin is incurable. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our sin is always increasing. It's not getting better. It's always getting worse. You see, what we do, we've got that sinful nature whenever we're first born. And when we get old enough to know right and wrong, we begin choosing the wrong. And it just keeps growing. It keeps multiplying because we begin to open doors. And the more we open doors, the more of our sinfulness gets out and the worse we become. Listen to what Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 32 says. This is showing us the progression of the sinful nature. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now notice here, he talks about a progression. When we open these doors and we fill up all of the sin in this area, then God turns us over to another area. The purpose is to try to get us to see our need for grace. And he just keeps on going with that. You know what the next verse says? This is the end of the chapter. The next verse says, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art that judges another. Because you who judge another do the same thing. Say, wait a minute, I don't do that. I don't have all this. You know what he's telling us? You've got the same nature. Don't open that door. Because if you open that door, it's going to come out. And he says, you can't judge anybody else because the only reason it's not manifesting itself in your life is because God's grace has got it covered up. Thank God for his grace. And let God be the judge, not ourselves. We have no position to judge. But I want you to see here that every one of us hath this same sinful nature. Every one of us stand in need of a Savior. We can't do anything about that. We're incurable, absolutely incurable. And it is a life that even for those of us who have received Christ as our Savior, as we study in Sunday school this morning, sanctification is by the same faith that brings salvation. And this is interrupting to our sanctification process because from now, from time and to time, we revert back to that old sinful nature and we sideline ourselves. And it causes us to stumble and our spiritual life is interrupted. Listen to this, Romans 7, 14 through 24. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now let me explain what he's saying here. The law, it can only be accomplished through the Holy Spirit. But we still have this treasure in an earthen vessel. We are still fleshly. That's what the word carnal means. We're still fleshly and our old body is still sold under sin. Don't let anybody tell you that when you got saved, God saved your sinful nature. He did not. Your sinful nature is still intact. And he did that the same in all of us. You can be sure of that. We all still have the same old sinful nature. And so it's easy for that old sinful nature to derail our spiritual growth. Look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. How many of you can testify? You understand that? Whenever we want to do good, evil is present with us. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He makes a distinguishing here between his spirit and his flesh. You see, the spirit is sealed until the day of redemption. It cannot sin because it's born of God. But the flesh can still sin. And he says, now when I sin, it's not my spirit that's participating in it. And that's the part that we identify with. That's the real us. That's the Christian part. That's the new creation. The flesh is still sinful. And he says here that those sins that my flesh do, my spirit does not participate. You see, when I die, my spirit's going to go to the Lord who gave it. And my flesh is going to go back to the dust from whence it came. That's when there's a separation. That's when I'm going to lose this old sinful nature. That's when you're going to lose your sinful nature and your sinful desires when you finally take your last breath in this life. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And we're talking about a Christian here. Paul is an apostle. He's a preacher. But he is being honest with us right here. He said that in my flesh, there's no good thing. God has not put anything good in my flesh. If there's anything good that shows up, it is because of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God that is in you. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And you see, when we are living in this sinful body, it can interrupt our growth because the devil is a very sly enemy. He knows all the buttons that we've got hooked up in our life and he pushes them. And he tries every way he can to lead us into sin because he knows that will derail the purpose of God in our life. And so we have to be very careful to, when you fall, don't just fall and get up, dust yourself off and try again. Find out what made you fall. Find out what the problem is. See, it's always a lack of faith. Every time. It may be pride, and that's putting faith in me. Putting faith in myself eliminates my faith in God. It may be all kinds of things. We need to determine what that is. And then as we begin to eliminate all these buttons that the devil can push in our life to get us to fall, then we can go longer in the sanctification process without interruption. Now I want you to see the cry. This is important. Verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That was an act of faith. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. There is not a disease in the world that the Lord can't heal. There's not a sin in the world that the Lord cannot overcome. There's not a habit, an addiction, or anything else that God cannot conquer. This man, knowing that he had all this power, says to the Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, I want you to know that it was the faith in that statement that caused the Lord to be able to act on his behalf. When a person is lost and they come to the Lord and they say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you will, you can save me. Then God saves. You see, God is looking for that faith. Do you believe that God can save you? And then to those of you who are Christians, do you believe that God can conquer the sin in your life that does so easily beset you? Do you believe that? If you do, then you need to cry out to God. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And I want you to know it's God's responsibility, not ours. Because we can't do it. But God can. And so rather than saying, Lord, I can't conquer this, and I don't know, I don't guess I'll ever have victory because I can't conquer this sin. This leprous man had come to the Lord that way and said, Lord, I'm trying not to have leprosy. I'm doing everything that the medical books tell me to do. I'm trying hard not to be a leper, but I'm a leper. He'd stay a leper. Whole lot of Christians are going through life saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm trying hard. If you'll forgive me, I promise I'm going to cut this out. I'm going to quit it. Just forgive me one more time. They're going to stay a sinner the rest of their life. But when a person comes to the Lord and says, Lord, I'm a helpless, hopeless sinner. But if you will, you can make me clean. And believe that in your heart, then God will take over in this fight. That's a wonderful truth. Believing is the key. Mark chapter 9, verse 16 through 24 says this. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, I want you to see here what Jesus says to him is you got the if in the wrong place. He says, if you can do anything, help us. He said, but Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You see, sometimes we have to just even lean on the faith that God gives us and to ask God for more faith that we can believe that he is able to set us free, that he is able to change us and to cleanse us. You see, the cleansing of a sinner is a big thing. Listen to what Job says. Job 14:4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. You see, what we're trusting God to do is an absolute impossibility for us. And so by faith, we are expecting God to do the impossible. He's God. Listen, there's nothing that God can't do. God can transform us into the image of his son. He has said that is his purpose. He's going to do that at the end of our life, one way or the other, but he wants to do it for us today. He wants for us to be transformed into the image of his son, and he has the power to do it. And I understand that it is a big thing that we're asking God to do, but God is a big God. And he can do whatever he wants to do, and what he does in your life will be beautiful. Listen to Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You see, there's a beautiful promise in that. What God is looking for in us is a broken and a contrite heart. Where we come to God and we say, Lord, I don't like my sinful nature. I can't do a thing about it. But you can make me clean if you will. Now let's look at the cure. Verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Isn't that something? Leprosy that could not be healed was healed. A condition that could not be changed was changed. You may be here this morning with some sin that's troubled you for years. And you've struggled with it. You've tried to quit. You've tried to turn over a new leaf. You've done all kinds of things. And you finally concluded, that's my lot in life. I can't fix it. Well, you're right on the threshold of where you need to be. You see, God is a miraculous God. God can do whatever he needs to do. He asked the question, is there anything too hard for God? And whenever we have something that's difficult, something that we cannot possibly fix, we bring that to God. It's an exercise of our faith, and God loves that. When we know that what we can't do, God can do, and we lay it at his feet, receiving from him the cure. I want you to see in John 14, 12 through 14, it is given in the name of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, underline that, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now understand, it will be given to us when we ask in faith, believing according to his will. When we pray and ask for things that are not in his will, the Holy Spirit changes our prayer. And it goes to heaven different than we pray it. But if we ask in his will, he will give it to us. And it will be given. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Those are all true. But we have to always condition that with the will of God. Even Jesus in the garden when he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, when he prayed that prayer, he being God, knew that God was going to have to let him go to the cross. But he prayed, and then he said, but not my will, but thine be done. We have to do the same thing. So when we know that it's God's will for something to happen in our life, and we know that God wants us to be cleansed, God wants us to be saved, God wants us to turn away from sinful habits, addictions, and things like that, then we can claim this promise, and we can go to him, and we can say, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he will clean us because he's a generous God. Listen to Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I like that. You see, you may have gotten yourself into situations that are very difficult. You may have gotten yourself in situations you don't know how to get out of. You've opened doors that you can't shut. But look what God says. Where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God's got plenty of grace. Take care of every problem. If you're lost this morning, Jesus will save you. He has plenty of grace. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. His grace is sufficient. And he can wipe away every sin. If you're a Christian here today and you have sin in your life that you've struggled with, you don't know how to get rid of, God's grace is sufficient. And he can make you clean. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful truth. You say, I don't think I can live up to it. Well, listen, nobody can. That's the reason we need a Savior. We have to have a Savior who can do all things well. We have to have a Savior who can save us without us helping him. We have to have a Savior who can keep us and can transform us, because we're still just as dependent upon God today as we were when we first got saved. God is the only hope we have, but He is all we need. The cleansing of a sinner is a good thing. God wants to clean us up. God wants to save us. God wants to deliver us from whatever we get ourselves into. You see, we all make mistakes. We all open doors that we can't shut. But God can shut those doors. God can cover us with His grace and overcome all of the weakness of our sinful flesh. Listen to Psalm 34, verses 6 through 9. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Deliverance is right at hand. I want you to know, God does not have to be persuaded to clean up your life. God does not have to be begged to save you, or if you're saved, to clean you up. That's what He wants to do. That's what God has saved you for. The Bible says that He has come to deliver us from our sins, and He wants to do that. You say, well, what's my part? Believing. Understanding two things. You've got to understand that in the equation of righteousness, you're a zero. You have nothing to add to the equation. That's step number one. Once you know that, then you can throw everything at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And He will make you clean. That's a promise from God's Word. We know it's the will of God to do that. He died to do that. He didn't just die to save you and let you go on struggling with your sin. He died to save you and then deliver you from your sin by His grace on a moment-by-moment basis. Oh, what a Savior we have. If you're here this morning without Jesus, let me tell you what you need to do. When the music begins, just step out and come down here to the front. We'll open God's Word and show you how you can be saved. If you're here and you have anything you need to come to the altar and pray about, you feel free to do that. The altars are always open. Whatever the Lord would have you do, let Him have His way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for Your great love and Your great grace that is able to take a poor old sinner like me and save and deliver. And Lord, I pray for every soul that's here today that we might leave here with Jesus, that we might walk with Jesus all the days of our life, that when it's finally time for us to go to heaven, we can walk into glory and have Jesus say, enter in, good and faithful servant, because that is our desire. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Deliver the afflicted. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.